With me for the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. And I'd like to invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. We're reading from Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
That I'm able to come before you today unfettered, that my cast is off. And I do give thanks for that. I give thanks again for all of your many prayers and well wishes. And I tell you what, let's go to God now in prayer. Gracious Lord, we do give thanks for the time to be together and for your living word, a word that speaks to us. And so help us to hear all that you would say. All the ways in which you inspire us, all the ways in which you comfort us, in which you love us, but at the same time, ways in which you challenge us to grow in our faith, to become more than we are even now. Be with us, in Jesus' name, amen. Police officer pulls a car over going 5 miles an hour. People in the back seat are visibly shaken. Though it's only 5 miles an hour. And so he asked, "Well, ma'am, why are you traveling so slow?" And she said, "Well, that's the posted speed limit." He smiled and he said, "No, ma'am, we're on Interstate 5. And as he looked in the back, he then said, "Well, why is everybody so shaken in the back?" And one of the back seat passengers said, "Well, we just got off of Highway 101. You know, I think in our own lives we find ourselves going 101 miles per hour and are rarely ever going 5 miles per hour. We want to do more things and do them in less time. Futurist Zach David called what we do hyper-living. Now, let's take a little test, and let's see if you are trying to hyper-live your life. First one, we buy time by saying we're going to buy gadgets, you know, electronic devices, computer devices. That's going to save us time, right? We buy all this stuff. We pay a lot of money for this stuff. But then we don't have time to read the instructions to know how to use it. All right, next question. Or comment. We'll see if this applies. We eat, drink coffee, listen to the radio, shave, apply makeup, talk on a cell phone, make gestures, and we do it all at the same time and all while we're driving. Does that sound like you? Have you ever pulled up at a stoplight? And if there are two lanes and each one contains one car, we find ourselves guessing based on year, make, model of each car, along with the hair color of the driver, which one's going to pull away first. And then we determine which lane we need to get in. Is it just me that does that? All right, what about this one? At the grocery store, if we have a choice between checkout lanes, we find ourselves counting the number of people in each line. Then we multiply the number of items that they're going to buy, you know, in each of their carts. And then we choose a line. If a person comes and stands in the other line, the place that we would have been standing, you know, if you had chosen that line, and you make it to the checkout first, and they're still in line, don't you feel awesome? You won. But what if that person beats you out the door? Don't we feel defeated and even depressed? A Harvard economist says that the average American will work the equivalent of 1 month longer this year than we did 20 years ago. My friends, it is hyper living, and that's exactly what we're doing. Now, we do it to ourselves, and we need to take just a moment and debunk some of the myths that we hold true about what it means to live hyperactively, to live at such a fast speed, a frantic and frenetic pace. The first myth that we need to bust is when we say that busy equals important. If you're really busy, you must be really living. That's just not true. Busyness does not equal importance. You have bought into a lie. Myth number two. Someone else is going to win the rat race. Someone else is going to succeed. Someone else is going to do better than me. The rat race says that what you do is more important than who you are. You know that bumper sticker? The one who dies with the most toys wins? What I like is the counter bumper sticker that reads, "The one who dies with the most toys still dies." What about myth number three? If I hurry, I'll have more time. You know what, my friends? There really is no such thing as time management. You can talk about money management, and if you take care of your money and you invest it, yeah, you can end up with more money at the end of the day. But you only have 24 hours in a day. I don't care how you invest that. You're not going to get more time. The only thing that you can manage is yourself. It's a misnomer to say time management. It's all about self-management. And we need to take a look at how we manage ourselves, what we put as important. We need to take time periodically and look at our priorities and see where we are. We need to come to an understanding of what is going on and why we are hyper-living. The ultimate tragedy of a busy life is the same as the tragedy that Martha faced. Offered an opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus, but guess what? She can't spare the time. Our culture promotes busyness. People expect us to be busy, maybe even overworked. It's become a status symbol in our society. If we're busy, we're important. If we're not busy, we're considered lazy. Busyness is our security blanket. It's our self-validation. It's also a convenient excuse for not doing the things that we know that we ought to be doing in this life. Things like spending time with our family, spending time with our friends, and most importantly, spending time with God. Now, what exactly is happening in our story today? Martha welcomes Jesus into her home, and she was preparing a feast. Custom has it that when a person is invited, food must be provided, food must be served. And so Martha is fulfilling her societal obligation. In doing so, she allows herself to be distracted by secondary matters and she doesn't have time for Jesus. Twice in two verses, Martha, it says, was distracted. I love the original Greek. The original Greek translation is even better than the way we've got it translated in the NRSV. It says that she was pulled in many directions. That's how distracted becomes translated. Pulled in many directions. Now let's look at some signs of this distraction. First off, Martha has a preoccupation with service. What's supposed to be happening? This was a banquet in honor of Jesus. And so the question is, was she doing that? And the answer is no. She was totally prepared, totally absorbed in food preparation. So much so that not only did she ignore Jesus, but then she begins to boss Jesus around. In verse 40, she says, "Jesus, tell her to help me." My friends, can you imagine ordering God around? And the answer is, sure you can. We do it all the time, whether we realize it or not. I mean, picture it with me, okay? It's a busy day. And so we try to get some God time in. You know, we try to squeeze the Lord in. You know, and we say to ourselves, you know what, God, I could use a small miracle right now. And so we pray. And then we say, okay, God, impress me. Is that the way it's supposed to work? Is that what it's all about? Or is the miracle itself just spending time in the presence of God, of just being with God? The second sign of Martha's preoccupation and distraction is that Martha is critical of those who aren't doing as much as she is. Martha wasn't consumed by just what she needed to get done. She was consumed with the fact that Mary wasn't doing anything. And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is only one thing that you are in need of." Aha. Here's the real culprit. What are the many things she's so upset and so worried about? Here she is preparing probably too many dishes. She was trying to impress Jesus with what she's done. She was doing more than she needed to do. Picture it with me. You die and you go to heaven. You meet Jesus. You say, "Lord, look back at my life and see all the wonderful things that I've done." What do you think Jesus is going to say to you? He'll probably say something like this: "You know what? Those were some good things. But you know what I really wanted? Was just to spend more time with you. To have you spend more time with your family in my presence. To have you relish the relationships you have with your friends. Not do more and be busier than you are." We have to find balance between go and do and sit and listen. Years ago in the jungles of Africa, a Westerner was trekking through the jungle. Natives were hired to carry the heavy loads. The first day they marched rapidly, but the second morning they refused to move. When the Westerner asked why they wouldn't move, he was told that they had gone too far and too fast the first day and that they had to sit and wait for their souls to catch up with their bodies. My friends, there are times in our lives that we move too fast, that we need to slow down. We need to purposefully slow down and go, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. The world's not going to end. I need to enjoy my life. I need to enjoy the moment that God has given me right now. No matter what it is I'm doing, I can find enjoyment in God, in Jesus Christ." And what we need to do, we need to let our souls catch up to our bodies. Maybe not literally, but definitely figuratively. What does Psalms 37:7 say? Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Or what about Psalms 46:10? Be still and know that I am God. You know that nowhere in the Bible it says, if you'll run around like a chicken with your head cut off, you're going to experience God's presence and powers in ways you've never experienced before. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. But again and again it says to us, be still. Stop. Wait. Listen. Be open. Be real. Stop hiding behind your busyness. And start really living in Jesus Christ. We hear that all over. But we allow busyness just to suck the life out of us. In 1990, a woman entered a Häagen-Dazs in Kansas City for an ice cream cone. While she was ordering, another customer entered the store. She turned around, she found herself face to face with her idol, Paul Newman. His blue eyes made her knees buckle. She finished paying and she quickly walked out of the store. Her heart was pounding in her chest. She took a few deep breaths, she got her composure. And then she suddenly realized that she didn't have her ice cream cone. So she turned to go back in. At the door, she met Paul Newman again, who was coming out. And he said to her, "Are you looking for your ice cream cone?" Unable to utter a single word, she nodded yes. And then he smiled as he looked at her and he said, "You put it in your purse along with your change." My friends, when was the last time the presence of God made you forget what was going on around you? Made you forget about the dishes? Made you forget about the ball game? Made you forget about your bank account? Made you forget about the busyness of life, just so that you could live that moment in the glory of God? You are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. My friends, I can promise you this. If you don't make time for God, it'll never happen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.